Your organic search is over. Here's Naturally Savvy with health experts Andrea Donsky and Lisa Davis.
I have to say, trying to keep my daughter away from artificial colors and artificial flavors and preservatives is very challenging. I tell you, Andrea, this morning, my daughter says to me, Mommy, on Halloween, I want you to let me buy lunch because they have some kind of like red Jello that's supposed to be like bloody or I don't know, something like that. And then she, okay, and then she says to me, oh, I want to go to, after we go to the dentist, which is supposed to be healthy, oh, I want you to get me that bubblegum flavored toothpaste. And then we stop at the bank and they hand her a green lollipop. And I'm like, enough. Gosh. I've had it. So thank goodness, because I need help. We have got Bill Sabo with us. He is AKA the Flavor Guy. He's a founder and CEO of Nature's Flavors. Hi, Bill. Help us.
Good morning. How are you?
We're great. It's so great to have you on. So I've got this kid where I feed her a whole foods diet as much as I can, but she's out in the world and she wants all the artificial, I'm going to say it, crap. So let's jump right in. Tell us about how we can avoid these and all the bad negative effects that come from eating these dyes.
Well, avoiding them is getting easier, that's for sure. I think that the awareness by the consumer about the negative effects of artificial colors has really driven the R&D and companies like ours to go out and search for things that that will replace those artificial colors and things that are naturally good for you. So at that momentum seems to be, holding strong. Certainly it's the support of the consumer that keeps us going and keeps us, doing the research and searching for more and stronger and more reliable natural food pigments.
You know, Bill, this is Andrea. I mean, I think what would be important is to tell consumers what you do at Nature's Flavors and how you have a line of natural colors and what they're made for, just to give people a bit of a background.
Well, what we do at Nature's Flavors is we seek out ingredients from plants all over the world, everything from flavoring ingredients to, of course, colors. And I really got into this more heavily when I first, my wife and I first started having children. And we weren't aware of the effects of artificial colors, but we did see behavioral changes in our firstborn son. We used to give him Gatorade, and we did a lot of after-school sports with them, and we noticed other parents that gave their kids Gatorade. It's common here in Southern California when you play baseball all year long. Parents drop their kids off with a bottle of Gatorade, and as a coach, I started seeing those changes occur right before my eyes. And then I noticed it in my son. And so that really bothered me, knowing that here I am, raising children and I was supporting that industry. And so I started looking, within our own company of how I could replace those colors. And that really started in earnest in the early 90s. And since we've now had four kids total, and as we on the latter two kids didn't feed them any artificial colors and really noticed the changes and the changes in the way they grew up and the comparisons that we had. And so we just made it a real focus here at Nature's Flavors to go out and find those natural pigments and other natural ingredients to augment the color of the foods.
So, Bill, tell us a little bit about how you get the colors. So, when we think of an artificial red, what are you using to make that natural color from? Or, just some other examples, because I know you are, when it comes to herbs or it comes to fruits and vegetables, I know that's kind of what you're always looking for, different things. But I know you have some interesting things that you use to make colors as well. So if you could share that, that'd be awesome.
Well, the early colors that we started out with, or early plant materials that we started out with to replace Red 40, were things like cherry juice concentrate and black currants and even cranberry when we use it in a high acid condition. But what we found is that those didn't survive the heat processes. And again, in order to get consumers to pick these types of products up, they also want reliability. They want the product to look as good as that artificial color and, of course, be good for them. So we kept working. We migrated from juices to things like beets and then hibiscus flowers. And then in the last few years, we've been focused heavily on red radishes. And, red radish is probably one of the most promising, except for the fact that it has a high sulfur or vegetable kind of odor to it. So we're working to remove that odor. But that particular red is very heat stable. It works well in high acid and low acid conditions. and survives UV lighting. So it almost mimics the artificial color perfectly. Again, if we can get rid of that odor, we'll have a perfect replacement. And cost-wise, it's almost at parity.
Now, you know, I'm curious, Bill. So do you sell your the different colors and the things you come up with to different companies that utilize these in natural products? Do you have your own line of natural products? Fill us in on this.
So we do try to market the products to other companies. Initially, when we tried to do that in those earlier years, we encountered a lot of pushback from some very large companies, including the one I mentioned earlier. And I don't really want to get into mentioning company names, but my frustration is that before I tried to market them myself under a brand that we hadn't even created yet, I went to those big companies and they just had no interest in it. In fact, they're sometimes they would make some comment that marketing hadn't pushed for that, or consumer demand hadn't reached a point where they felt it was necessary to change. It didn't matter that we told them about the harmful effects. That just went right in one ear and out the other, as they say. So we decided, okay, and we'll go ahead and create a brand, and we'll put those products first into health food and then ultimately on natureflavors.com.
You know, for those of you who are listening, I mean, Bill and I mean, I've known you for a while now, Bill, and I love your passion. I mean, you are the flavor guy for a reason, and I'd love you to tell everyone just a little bit about the fact, you know, where you learned, where it came from, your passion from your, I think it was your uncle or your uncle or grandfather that were, you know, where you learned all this from. Maybe just share a little bit about, so people can understand why it's so important to you and so close to you.
I had an interesting upbringing. I grew up in the 60s. I was born in 1960, and I came through parents that have a German descent and a real strong personality. My father wasn't very kind to having kids at all, so both my sister and I and my mom endured a lot of pain. It was a very trying time, but I had this neat uncle. He was my dad's uncle. That would have been my great uncle. And he began teaching me flavor and perfumery when I was 4 years old. Now, he was focused on natural flavors back then. It was easy because he was retired when we started learning. And so he had a lot of fruit trees in his property. And we would actually extract things right from those fruit trees, from tangerine trees. I remember my first thing was taking the oils from tangerine peel. And then ultimately we made a root beer and a few other really neat flavors. But
nice.
He passed away when I was 12. He left me a lot of information and books and things. And when I was 17 years old, I decided that was the time. And I went back to those roots and started my first flavor company.
It's amazing. And so, Bill, when people think about natural colors, now we only have about under a minute left. When people think about natural colors and they might be thinking, well, you had mentioned before, does it look or, you know, does it taste the same as conventional colors, as the brightly colored food coloring that's out there? Really quickly, can you give people just a bit of an insight if they were going to bake with it or if they were going to use it themselves and they use your colors, how would they do so?
Well, baking or heating the flavors has been the biggest challenge. And then second would be UV survival or UV light. But they, for the most part, don't give off any flavor anymore. Red radish is one, as I said earlier, that still has some areas to clean up. But we're even working on an extract of dragon fruit. So I believe in the years to come, and maybe only in a year or so, those problems will be addressed and taken care of. But for the most part, most of the colors do really well, have no off flavors, and bake well.
I love it. Bill, if you want to learn more about Bill's company, I highly recommend you going to naturesflavors.com, and you can also follow them on Twitter at natures_flavors. I'm a huge fan of all of Bill's products, and I recommend please go to their website to learn more. I'm Andrea Donsky along with Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.